You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. You can see you to a special WNBA conference final preview, Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. Now, last week when we were talking about the semifinals, we brought the writers, the journalists, the internet writers, people that have been covering the games. But, you know, this week, conference finals, something special, something different. We're bringing you the people that have lived them. So let me introduce you to my panel of guests this week that I am so happy to have with me. First, with one ring on her finger as coach of the Sacramento Monarchs, Monique Yampers. How are you, Monique?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appearances in the conference finals with the Cleveland Rockers and now a blog talk radio hostess herself, Chazity Melvin. How are you, Chaz?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. A person has rings upon rings that has made the circuit and played for several teams, but those Sparks teams are some of the best ever. Everybody enjoyed watching them, and I love talking to Delisha Milton-Jones. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Delisha.
Thank you. Likewise.
And the Detroit Shock has put some blingage on the finger of one Katie Smith. And Katie, congratulations on retirement. It's good to see you all over television, getting the props that you deserve. And thanks for coming on today.
It's going to be fun.
So, let's start right with you. One of the things that really is interesting to me is the way that certain coaches, now, Lynn Dunn in particular, we'll start with the Indiana-Atlanta series. Lynn Dunn seems to push every button at just the right moments to get the absolute most out of her team when it comes to the postseason. Now, do you take a different approach to it in the postseason, or is it just a continuation of everything that you've done before?
I think coaches and players have that next gear when it comes to playoffs. A lot of people have been in the league who understand that, and I just think that, of course, you have to grind out the regular season and put yourself in a position to first of all, get in the playoffs, but then you also know it's going to be all the little things that everybody knows the plays you're running. You know, everybody knows your tendencies. It's just a matter of going out there and wanting it more, outworking people, and then knocking down shots. So I don't know if it's buttons, but she also has the liberty of having, you know, Tamika Catchings, which pretty much is like a your energy setter. I mean, she's, you know, constant, and that kind of, no matter if everybody shows up or not, she's going to set the tone, and people will eventually kind of get on board.
Now, Chaz, how important is it to have that person, like Tamika Catchings? You know, Atlanta has Angel McCautry, Diana Taurasi out west, and Minnesota you could choose for, really. How important is that one person that you know you can count on that's going to bring that energy and effort every day?
Well, it's important because it just brings consistency to the team, and it, I guess it's more important in the playoffs for the reason that just if you read the interviews with Brittany Griner before she made her shot, how calm Diana Taurasi was in the huddle. Hello?
Yep. We hear you.
How calm she was in the huddle, like Candace Parker just made, like, well, everyone watching the game thought possibly that was a game winner, and they went in that timeout, and Diana was just calm and just told everybody to relax, and that put more confidence in a player like Brittany Griner, who hasn't had the best season this year, what people expect her to have. I thought she's played as well as she can in the offense early on in the season under Coach Gaines, and now later, but I think, you know, that's important. I think Tamika Catchings has raised the level of play for Shavonte Zelis. You know, she puts confidence in Shavonte Zelis and Elena Larkins. I mean, Elena Larkins came out of nowhere last year, but Tamika Catchings, you have to give her a lot of credit for just being that leader on the team and instilling them and teaching them how to be professional basketball players and how to bring it every day. And that's obviously shown in their game improvement from Elaine Larkins not being in the league, being cut, to being a beast in the paint, a beast in the East, and being at a small 6'2 center for the Indiana Fever. So it's really critical to have big-time players as far as talent, because obviously Lee Catchin is very talented and Diana Taurasi, but they're big-time leaders and motivators.
speaking of Larkin, now, Delisa, you played inside and outside throughout your career. And when you were playing inside, you were certainly not the biggest person to be banging around inside. Elena Larkin has a wider body, but is still not on the taller side. Now, she's going against Erica DeSouza, who is one of the true big centers in the league. She always has seemed in the postseason, she handled Tina Charles last year, and now in the first series, she took care of Kia Vaughn and shut her down when she had to. How important is it going to be for Larkins to be able to try and stop Erica?
It's going to be at the utmost importance. You know, the thing about Elena is she may be small compared to the other centers in the league, but she has great foot agility, speed, and quickness. You know, they can't really hone in on her because she's constantly moving. She rebounds out of her area. She's just a nag and just, she's just a thorn in any team's side. And I feel like her and a player like Rebecca Brunson, that whenever, however they go, their team will go because they are the energy suppliers. Catchings is a mainstay. But when you look at Elena and you have an enforcer in the paint per se, it's Elena. And it's Elena during the playoffs, and that's usually her time to shine. You know, she comes up big. She's getting 15-plus rebounds, you know, in these series, in certain games, and it's huge for the success of Indiana. But, you know, as for myself being undersized, yeah, you always have to use what you have. And what I usually had was my length and my quickness. You know, the coaches would always tell me they can't hit a moving target. So you try to stay in constant motion and just wreak as much havoc as you can.
Now, I'll be the first person to admit, I still am admitting from the start of the preseason, I picked Atlanta to not make the playoffs because of their guard situation, that I thought that they were just going to struggle. Now, Katie, you playing in the Eastern Conference this past season, Jasmine Thomas, Tiffany Hayes, Alex Bentley, the rookie, and, of course, our Minty Harrington. It really got it done this year. I did not anticipate this kind of steady, solid guard play out of the Atlanta Kings.
It has been good. You know, McCautry is McCautry. Just, you know what I mean? She does what she does. But I thought Hayes had a great year, and you know, with her being out as much, they still kind of maintained, but her offensive defense, rebounding, kind of jack of all trades was huge. And I thought Jasmine Thomas really kind of came into her own. It was a little, I don't know if they just calmer, just it seemed a little bit more poised, took better shots. I thought a shot selection was better. And then, you know, Bentley, I thought was a pretty decent pro for a rookie. Like, she's confident, handles the ball, plays D, kind of gives them what they need. So, I did think that their guard play picked up. I thought for being some young bucks, you know, they were solid and really did their job along the way.
You know, Mo, when we were talking about the coaches, you know, how great an idea was it for Indiana to bring back Katie Douglas for two games just so they could make it like last year and she has to sit out the playoffs again?
Worked well against us that last game.
I know, right?
Hey, and I sat there and watched it in Connecticut, the playoffs. But in all seriousness, Shavonte Zellis, Aaron Phillips, and Breon January have also had outstanding years and have really stepped up, as has Karima Christmas. If you looked at the rest of the Tamika Catching supporting cast, okay, is the backcourt as key as Elena Larkins, or are they going to have to really focus on the front court and try to take advantage of what they can do there?
Just for anyone?
Well, I was asking Mo.
Oh, no, I think the everybody's going to be key. I mean, that way that you can't key in on one player. I think that when Breon January plays great, I mean, that team is able to take it to a whole nother level. I think she's just important as Larkins as well.
Now, Katie brought up Angel. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't spend at least a minute or two talking about Angel Mahoffsky and what she can do on the court. She seems to really dictate what happens with Atlanta, not just with her gameplay with the ball, but also without the ball. If she's hustling back on defense, if she's working hard. Yeah, she's very up and down and inconsistent sometimes, it appears to me at least, in some of those other facets of the game. Delisa, am I right about that? Is Angel really got to play hard this entire series for Atlanta to have a shot?
Yeah, I think that she definitely needs to increase her intensity and the effort in the unsung hero category, you know, the stats that don't show up on the stat sheet. She's going to play her game no matter what. She's going to get up 20-plus shots a game. She may miss 10 in a row, but she may make the next 8. You know, that's just Angel. But if she can, you know, take care of the intangibles and be consistent with that, then the success for their team is possible, very possible.
Well, from that point, do you think Atlanta can win this series? Who do you pick to win the series?
I pick Indiana. And the reason why I pick Indiana, they were my sleeper team before the playoffs started. Indiana is the type of team where they play physical from the point guard on down to your five. Everyone plays the same caliber of basketball, high speed, physical, in your face. They help one another perfectly, kind of like a Seattle does. They beat you up and they beat you. And they do it as a collective unit. And it's a beautiful thing to watch when they can cause some of your best scorers in the league to have terrible nights shooting and just be frustrated and taken out of the game completely.
Chaz, what do you think?
It's a tough one. I mean, obviously, it's hard to go against experience. And like I said, an Indiana Fever are the defending WNBA champ. But Angel McCautry is a very talented player. And I think in that first game of the series against the Mystics, I think Angel was very disappointed that she didn't win MVP of the league. Rumor has it, from what I hear from, you know, my sources, she was pretty unhappy that she didn't get MVP of the league. And she was pretty mad and played like it that night, played kind of out of control. But I saw in that third game, if you watch the game in the fourth quarter, Angel was skipping, made the skip pass to find a shooter, and Tiffany Hayes, she can find her teammates when she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, I mean, watching it did kind of hurt themselves because they settled for the outside shot. I thought they could have penetrated just as easily, but mm-hmm. I think Angel showed a different side of her game in that fourth quarter because she played team ball, and it just ignited her teammates. And that's what she's going to have to do in order for the Atlanta Dream to beat Indiana, because Coach Lynn Dunn is going to have the best defensive team. Her team plays defense, and Atlanta's going to have to move the ball and find, because they have people that can score. Chicago hurt themselves because they were so used to scoring at ease. They took quick shots a lot against Indiana, and that really hurt them. And they were inexperienced, weren't prepared for that playoff defense as opposed to the regular season defense. But Atlanta knows that Indiana, they've played them before. They know that they play great defense. And Angel is going to have to learn, have to decide when to score and when to find her teammates. And I think she has the ability to do that. And I think she's still out to prove, like she has since she's left college, what type of player she is. And she can do unbelievable things on the court. So I don't know who's going to win the series. I mean, I kind of want to go with the experience that Coach Lynn done, but I just don't know. It just depends on what Angel comes out to play and how she plays.
Katie, who do you think to win this series?
I had Indiana as my sleeper. I think Indiana's going to beat Atlanta. I think they're a little too inconsistent. Although if Atlanta really makes a concerted effort to go inside and get the Souza touches, I think they can be more effective, but if they just settle for jump shots, I don't think they – I mean, I'm sure it'll be a good series, but I'm going Indiana at this point.
Let me hit you with one quick variable there, Katie. Indiana ended up finishing low enough in the standings that this is a home series for Atlanta. Atlanta's 14-3 in the regular season playing at home. Does that make a difference?
Not really, honestly. I mean, we beat them down there, and we weren't a very consistent basketball team. And I think if you have a decent game plan and you don't allow them to get that momentum, or if they do have a run, you have to nip it in the bud. I mean, you can't allow the energy in the crowd. And DeSouza pumping her fist, and McCautry getting rebounds, and then they'll go bananas down there. But I think, you know, Indiana's not going to panic. I mean, they're going to have – they kind of are very calm. If they get down, no biggie. Atlanta, for some reason, they are an inconsistent basketball team, will – they'll get up big, but they'll also give you a chance to get back in the ball game, possibly. So I think that, you know, it doesn't really matter the home record with going down a stretch here.
You
can I interject one more thing?
Sure.
I wanted to say something about Indiana. The thing that makes them so dangerous is that regardless of how well they're shooting or not, they are consistent with the identity of who they are. And they are a very physical team on both ends of the floor. And they play great team ball, and they instill confidence in each other with the extra pass or with the big knockdown or with the steal. So that's what makes them so dangerous in the playoffs. When other teams aren't really consistent with who they are as a team and with what got them there, they are. And that's the selling point for them to really go far.
I mean, if they fall behind Indiana, Lynn Dunn's not going to get her panties in a wad, like she said that.
Right. I played for Lynn Dunn in the ABL, and, you know, she's a special coach. She really is. She has that laid-back approach, but with a seriousness behind it. But at the end of the day, it's almost your responsibility to make sure that you come to work equipped and ready to do whatever it is that she has put in front of you to do. And she demands the same from everyone, whether you are the star or whether you are a role player. And when you're in a situation where you have your star player who is your energy provider, then it's all good for you.
Coach Ambrose, your thoughts. Who's going to win this series?
I picked Indiana, and for the simple fact that Indiana's strength is defense. They like to tack that paint. And, you know, watching Atlanta, that is their weakness. They want to drive. And if that paint is packed, there's no room to drive. It's going to force them to shoot. And they proved that they're not consistently good at getting the ball to Erica, which I think is crazy. But I think that's that advantage goes to Indiana.
Well, I will still get on my soapbox there, and I still one of the lost arts of the game is getting the ball into the post in the right position. I think that too many guards still don't know how to do it. So
they're not alone
in not getting the ball to Erica. I mean,
be careful, post players. Hey, but I'm pretty good passer to the post. I usually
can vouch for you, Katie. I can definitely vouch for you.
I'm ganged up against other groups.
Katie,
it's a long
start
now that you're retired. It's
right, there you go.
But, Katie, you're more serious. Don't you think that there are a lot of guards that struggle with that entry pass? You're not one of them.
Yeah. It is. And it's for post players, I always say, I mean, they're really at the mercy of their guards. And it's, they just don't handle the ball. They're not bringing it up, and they just have to rely on others to make, put them in good positions and also to find them. But it is. It's being able to handle the ball, handle pressure when teams are pressuring you, and still being able to see things. There's a lot that goes into it on both parties, but, guards, you have to be observant of everything that's happening, help side, who's guarding somebody, all of that. And it definitely, it's more than just looking. It's a lot that goes into it. But, yeah, there's some that just really don't want to give it up too much.
And then you got to deal with all those big bad posts like Chaz and Delisha yelling at you for not giving it to them.
Hey, they have valid points, though. If they got a valid point, yell away, because you guys work hard down there, and we should be paying attention.
Well, you know, the last 2 points that you guys made, we were talking about the point guards getting it into the post, and then we were talking about defense. So this seems like a perfect transition to talk about the Phoenix Mercury, because those are two things that are going to be crucial, I think, as we head into this playoff series. Now, Coach, 15 games is all Coach Gunnell has as a WNBA coach going into a conference final against a juggernaut Minnesota team. Is he going to be ready for this?
I think he's ready. But the most important thing is he has the trust in all of those players. And you can tell by the way that they're playing now. They believe in him and they believe in his system. So I definitely think it's a different team now.
Now, the interesting thing, let me throw a quick stat at you that I was looking at today. The funny thing is, there's been all this talk about the defense that he's brought to them, that they're now playing with more intensity and all. They're actually giving up just as many points as they did during the regular season, but they're scoring more points than they were before he came. So the stats really show that they're getting, to me that means that they're just getting out in transition better. You know, Delisha, you played on a run team, not as run and gun as Corey Gaines tried to do. Phoenix has now got, you know, more of that regular high motor, fast paced team. Is this a team that can play with Minnesota playing that style for this series?
Yes, if they're hitting, you know. But the whole thing about the new coach, it's all about the mentality that he has in place with the players nowadays. They know that you have to play defense and rebound in order to win, especially in the postseason play. Regardless of whether or not they are giving up the same amount of points as they were when Corey Gaines was the coach, it's kind of irrelevant. It's all about the collective mentality, and that's something that I learned with Michael Cooper and even with Carol Ross as my coach. It's all about how you get the entire team to feed into the concept of just thinking defensively. And when you think defensively, your whole body language changes. You're on your toes. You're in an attack mode, and opportunities come more frequently. You get those leak outs, or you get a tip steal that leads to a layup or a three in transition for Bonner or for Diana Taurasi. So I feel like it's totally the mentality.
Katie, the first team all WNBA backcourt is on opposite teams in this series, Diana Taurasi and Lindsey Whalen. Who's more important to their team?
That's a
you didn't think I was
going to
make it easy on you.
I really do think it's a wash. I think Whalen, even though she has Maya Moore and Moan and Brunson, I just feel like she's kind of their engine. You know, pushing, driving, getting fouled, finding people, calling the plays. It's just a comfort level for everybody. And Diana's huge for the other. I mean, she needs to put up, obviously, she's second in points and second in assists on the year in the league. She needs to be aggressive. She sets the tone also. And her taking those shots, her creating for others, all the attention she gets, I honestly think they're both very, very important to their basketball teams. I don't think I can pick one that's a little bit more than the other.
My dog is named Waylon.
Well, there you go. I know where you're leaning.
On my last question, he came wandering in the room, wondering what we were talking about. Now, Chaz, as a person that has played with several different teams in set systems, when you play a team like Minnesota that has all of this spread out talent, that there is no one person that you know you can shut down, because somebody else will pick it up. How do you approach that as a player on its court? Do you just have to trust everybody to be able to lock down the player, or do you take more of a team defense mentality?
Well, you definitely have to take more of a team defense mentality. I mean, in the playoffs, it's all about team defense. And like Delisha mentioned, you just collectively, everybody thinking on the same page. But at this point, I guess from all my different systems and billions of coaches, the coach that taught me the most, I like when the coach, when you get to the playoffs and when the team is concerned about what they do, executing what they do. Phoenix has done a tremendous job with their coach, the new coach, coach coming in, and they bought into the system. Now, you know, they're in the playoffs. All they got to do is concentrate on what they do. At this point, they can't think about their five losses to the Minnesota Lynx and the regular season and everything. They got to forget everything up until this point and just go with what they're doing right now. And I think what's big and what's major for Phoenix going into this series, although I think it'll be difficult for them, is Brittany Griner hitting against LA. I think that will give her a lot of confidence. And what's most important in the WNBA and for any athlete, professional athlete, is confidence. I think not getting Rookie of the Year, I mean, of course, she's heard the talk about how much she should be doing more for her to have that big shot against L.A., I think that could push her forward into having a good series. And if she has a series of, like, a season that we expected from her, then Phoenix can do some damage.
You know,
so I think it's just them concentrating on what they do. I don't think they could just focus on stopping Minnesota because they're not – I mean, Minnesota's a great team and they have experience. I think they just need to go in and – it's like them against the world, and these folks on what they do, execute what they do, and do it to the best of their ability. And they have Diana Taurasi, which I would never really bet against.
Delisha, one of the places where Minnesota seems to have struggled at different times this year is at the center position with Janelle McCarville being undersized. She plays a physical game, but a different type of center position. You know, Brunson is phenomenal at what she does, but I don't think they really want to match her up against Griner if they could avoid that. Is that a matchup that Phoenix should really focus on and try and drill in right from the start to get the ball into Griner inside and take advantage of that matchup?
I think so. You know, if they can get into the bench play for Minnesota, then the game, you know, is pretty much looking good for them. You know, they have struggled, you know, for productivity in that position. But, you know, what they do for the team, they do well. I think the role that they have to play is pretty much set in stone from what Coach Reeves expects. You know, Rebecca Brunson will hit that 15-foot jumper from the baseline free throw line, and she's not going to give you a plethora of moves in the paint, but she's going to rebound her butt off and crash the offensive boards. Janelle McCarver, she's a facilitator. She is probably one of the best passing posts that we have in the game to date. And when you have scorers surrounding you like Maya, Simone, and Lindsay, and even Monica, right, when she comes into the game, you got to get the ball to them. And she does a great job of doing that and finding her moments to make the big score, or get a big shot block, or even hit that little baseline jumper for that one play they have for her.
I just got to say something about, since we're talking about that post play, but we can't forget the style assassin on Phoenix Mercury with Candace Free. I call her Candy Girl. I think she's going to be a matchup problem for McCarville. She has a variety of moves in the paint and can score, as she scored well against L.A. And I like the way Candace was pretty aggressive in that last series. A lot of people like to say she's kind of soft at times, but Candace has a lot to prove as far as she wants to win a title. I played with her at Sky. She struggled with Chicago Sky forever, and she had great hopes going to join with Diana Taurasi. So she's really motivated in these playoffs, so I'm interested to see how she comes out and play. And that's going to be another problem right there for McCarville and Brunson. So if they can get the ball inside to Candace and Brittany, and they're playing well, it might turn into a series.
Yeah, and, you know, to top that all off, Chad, what we talked about earlier is guards passing to the post. Diana is one of the best passers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she can find Dupree at any angle.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie's gone, so I can't say Katie anymore.
Diana and Katie have a way of putting the ball in the post player's hands where they're in a position to score it. So
yes.
DP's on a better level, but in the way Dupree was also setting on ball picks and setting picks the other night, that was getting her open, because she was setting such good picks, and she does roll and pop and move. She was doing a nice job.
Beautiful to watch. That really was. And Diana, she could have came off and shot her pull up jumper any time, because the post player that was hedging out or stringing out had her hands down. Anybody in this league knows that Diana's going to pull that. But she played a smart man's game that game, and she knew that they could pick them apart defensively from the post rotation by having Candace set a good pick and roll and wait for the proper moment to give her the proper pass.
Now, you're talking about a Carol Ross team there, Delisha. You know, they're going to disown you from the Florida family.
Oh, never that. That's what I do.
With it being football season, you know, Delisha, are you talking to Katie with Urban Meyer being at Ohio State now, or is that, you get over that?
I'm over that because my man is Steve Spurrier.
Really?
That's right.
Yes, I love Steve Spurrier.
We'll save that one for another time. That
okay.
All right. I want to talk UConn for a second here, guys. Talk to me about Diana Taurasi and Maya Moore. Now, I look at Maya Moore, and Maya Moore has improved in the last couple of years more than any young player that I can ever recall seeing coming out. It's the way that she has developed into a three-point shooter yet she still has her flaws on the defensive end, as does Diana Taurasi. So what is it? What is it with these guys that they can only score baskets for REM? I mean, what's going on? Katie, talk to me for a second about what's different about these guys.
I mean, they, you know, some do play defense, and they're smart defenders. I mean, Maya's probably the bigger gambler out of them all. DT has her moments, you know. I mean, she keeps pretty good position. But Maya, they just, they're good basketball players. I mean, the one thing that separated DT's from a lot of people is her ability to run the show and be able to see all that's happening and to be able to, you know, call the plays and just know all the little things that are going on. And, you know, I think Maya reads and plays well off the things, but she doesn't have the role that Diana has, which is making sure everybody's in the right place and making a lot of the decisions. You know, Maya's had the ability to play off of two other guards and do her job, which is she's a beast. I mean, she'll raise on anybody, and she'll crash the board, she'll slice, she'll cut. I mean, she's just she doesn't stop. She's kind of like a Catchings, in a sense, like the way she plays. Her motor is just not, you know, she'll gamble on defense. And the thing about Minnesota, they're always kind of having her back and helping her out, even though she might be doing something that wasn't necessarily scripted. But, you know, a lot of times it does wreak havoc out there. But, I mean, UConn, they're good basketball players. They learn a lot. Coach, you know, Ariama does a great job of getting good players, but also creating even better players out of that.
You know, one thing that is interesting to me is, you know, we talk about, it always seems when you talk to me about Minnesota to start with Waylon and Moore and Brunson, and Simone is always the one that's overlooked. And the shot that she hit down the stretch to win that game, uh-huh. The game was just vintage Simone. She struggled a little bit during the game, but then it was money time, and she just nails that jumper with the ease of the veteran star that she is. You know, Monique, you've seen a lot of great players over the time. Where does Simone fit into, like, the equation when you look at things and you look at some of the all-time great guards that have played in women's basketball, you know, in the WNBA era?
First, let me say, she might be overlooked to, like, maybe the media, but she's always on the scouting report.
You're not dissing me now. Come on now.
She is always number one on the scouting report. I mean, her game is just so smooth and it's quiet at times. She, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're watching, you might forget that she's out there. But then when you look at her line, it's like, wow. So you know that she's out there, I mean, doing her thing. But like I said, we've always made sure that we talk about her on the scouting report. So we never forget about her. But I would definitely put her high up there. I mean, Simone's game is nice, really nice, effective, and sometimes hard to guard.
A lot of times. All right,
yeah.
Alicia, as a person that has been known to attract a few referee whistles,
who are you going towards, Alicia?
Any of us.
Alicia and
who are you leaning to? Don't throw me under the bus. I've changed. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Oh, y'all just don't lie. Hey, Delisha, why they gotta bring them old stuff?
Chad.
Let's talk about Diana Taurasi and keeping her cool and how important that's gonna be for this series.
It feeds her, though. Like, it never really gets her. She has her moment where she looks like she might do something crazy, and, yeah, she might get a T, but it's all – and then she comes right back and drops, you know, a couple threes on them. Like, for her, it doesn't really completely take her out of her game. It almost gets her going a little bit.
Yeah, but the problem with the T now is now we're in suspension level.
Well, true, and she'll keep – right. I mean, that's the only other part, and she can – I mean, she bounced the ball over the basket the other night, and that was her tee. I mean, those are the little things that she can control, and she knows she has to. And I don't think she'll do anything unless the game is just totally nuts to jeopardize her team in the future as well.
Hey, watching the game the other night, you said she started to drop things. That wasn't what I thought you were going to be referring to.
No, that happens every game, though. See, this is – Dee Dee has a long leash because she can let eight go, and then they'll get her on a ninth. But some of us have shorter leashes. You let one, you know, word go, and it's a tee. So
yeah.
it's all different.
Well, you know, you guys, the refs all were so stunned that you would say things like that, you know, since you guys were such nice, innocent players.
Right.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what they're thinking of, I'm sure.
You know, the funny thing was, you know, Katie, until you went to Detroit, nobody thought you were a dirty player.
Yeah, but see, the whole thing, that dirty thing really bugs me, and not just from
me
you talking about it. Now, this is big because, no, because, like,
what,
I think of dirty
that?
As some, now, I'm just speaking, but I'm just saying, like, dirty to me is when you're bowing people and you're hitting people intentionally. Like, you're doing things to hurt someone. Now, I'm a physical player. I'm not going to give ground just because, hey, you're coming my way. Let me get out of your way. But to me, dirty is literally grabbing, elbowing, undercutting people. To me, that's dirty. Now, if you want to say a physical player, yeah, I have no problem because I'm going to hold my ground with the best of them. I'm going to take a charge. I'm going to meet, you know, post play. I'm going to keep you out. You know. But that's, to me, like when people always, but yes, when I came to Detroit, my whole persona changed. Like all of a sudden, it's, you know, you must be doing something, you know. But, but that's life. But to me, that always, I don't know why it bugs me because, like, to me, I play hard, I play physical, but I don't ever go and try to hit, you know, hurt, undercut, elbow on purpose. You know, I mean, I'm going to get in the way because, like, why would I have to get out of the way? You know, you need to get out of the way. So, that's about you.
Delisha, would you like to expound on that? Because
I sure would.
You being
I feel
the,
like
the spark,
with me, know. With me, my rap is this. I have gotten into altercations where I've had to give someone a little sharp one to the midsection, you know, every now and then because it gets physical like that in the paint. But how Katie is as a guard, that's me as a post player. I'm already undersized, so I really have to assert my will. And then when you throw in the fact that I have a 7-foot wingspan, it's really out of my control when my arms are extended. And I watch tape sometimes, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I hit her in her eye. Like, I didn't even realize I hit somebody, but it just happens through the course of the game. And because those things happen, and rather frequently, people want to title you as dirty. And Michael Cooper gave me the name D-Nasty, and everybody thought it was because, oh, she's so nasty on the court. But no, he gave me the name because I'm so tenacious. I don't take a play off. And I take pride in that part of the game because I know the importance of it. And I know my teammates are depending on a certain thing from me every night, and I'm going to bring it. And if you want to jump on board, come on and we can go. But other than that, nothing malicious. Not trying to bust someone's nose, not trying to make anyone bleed or anyone hurt in that sense. But if you want to take it there, we can go there. But other than that, I'm just going to be in your face every second that I can to make your life miserable and difficult on the court. That's me showing you respect as a player that I'm going to do my best, you know, and if you can get your best off on my best, then you won tonight. But other than that, I'm going to show you respect and the game respect by giving it my all every play.
Now, Chad, was it because you always wore powder blue uniforms, nobody ever thought you that, gave you that rep?
Oh, no, they wanted me to be a dirty player. Look. Katie and Talisha, and Diana, you can throw them in the group. I don't. Only dirty player I know of that I can talk about now is in the NBA. Now, I thought Karl Malone could be a dirty player at times, but like Delisha said and Katie said, they play very physical. I wasn't a dirty player. I was just, hey, I had long arms, and I was just like, if you score over me, then, you know, you're pretty good.
Only one person on this phone call had their eyeball rolling around on the court. So,
ooh, yes, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Well, your Sacramento teams were like that too. They were real physical and aggressive. Yet, for some reason, nobody there ever got labeled too.
No, because like they said, it was just a physical game. You know, trying to win the game, and we are our identity was defense. So that's what we did. That's what we played.
Yeah. And it makes it easier when the team is physical as opposed to one or two people that's physical the entire time. You stick out like a sore thumb, and the referees see motion. And they make their calls based off of motion and reaction. And if, you know, we're coming through the paint and we're jockeying for position, and I'm not giving it up, or Katie's not giving it up, and Chance is not giving it up, then that offensive player can flail one time and then boom. You know, you're being penalized just because you're trying to be physical, and they're making it seem like you're being dirty and you're playing outside the rules of the game.
Well, all excellent points, all very true, and obviously, if I thought you guys were, any of you guys were dirty, we wouldn't be on having this conversation, and I wouldn't even, you know, be talking to you on the podcast in the first place. You're some of my favorite players ever. No question about that. I love the attitude you guys play with. And that's exactly how I considered it. It's just playing with attitude, and that's what you got to do out there. So let's bring this home, and let's pick winners in this. Coach Ambers, who do you pick to win this series? Is Minnesota going to make it? They've already won five in a row.
I'm going with Minnesota with the experience.
Alicia?
I got to lean more towards Minnesota because of their experience, but I always love a good underdog, but I have to lean towards Minnesota.
Jazz?
I'm just going to be level here. I'm going with Phoenix. I'm just going for the underdog and just hopefully my girl gets it right, Candace and Diana.
Are you sure? Are we going to have a I can't make a decision until after game three like you did in the other one?
See, I can do what I want on my show and my vlog, but since it's your show, you ask me, and I'm going to go with Phoenix. That's a good thing about having your own show. You do what you want and your own vlog. But I'm saying, since you asked me, I'm going to go with Phoenix because a lot of people didn't have Phoenix getting by L.A. They're playing great right now. I think Brittany Griner learned a lot last series, and she had post players that could get her in foul trouble. She made it through. So I don't. That 5-0, the regular season is over with. And if Minnesota's not on from the outside, they can hurt themselves sometimes. They live by the jumper and die by the jumper. So
yeah,
go with Phoenix.
Good choice, Katie.
Remember, the first five games that Phoenix lost were all really before the coaching change and really early in the season. So this is really a brand-new season or a series
Thank
or matchup.
Thank you. I meant to say that, actually.
It's going to be really close, and a lot like the L.A. Phoenix one, where it's really kind of – I'm going to go home court with many. I think with the home court, they're going to sneak by. I do think it's going to be a great series, though.
Yeah, I think that, in my opinion, I think if the teams can stay out of foul trouble, you know, whoever does, then it's going to be a great series if both teams, because neither team really has a heck of a lot of depth. So if we can see the starters play bulk of the minutes, it's going to be a lot of fun, that series, I think, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, ladies, I want to thank each of you for taking time out of your busy schedules. You know, Katie, are you rushing off to NBA TV, ESPN?
No more. I got a class. I got an orientation tonight. Now I'm back to the real life. Like, I got to hustle now. I got to.
Wait, you didn't ask us about Atlanta and Indiana, or did we go through that already? I didn't give my pick, but I might have missed it. Sometimes I zone out.
Give us what you got, Chad.
For Atlanta, Indiana, I'm going Indiana because they just play great defense and just they have more experience. That's it.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure with that one. I mean, because Angel's a great player, but unlike Diana, she can be inconsistent with what she wants to do and how she wants to play. So I will bet against her at times. So I got Indiana.
Yes, tell everybody when your next broadcast is on so they can hear when you change it.
I'm going to change it Friday after the game Thursday night, of course. Thank you. Check me out, Chad44.com, ChadSavelva.com. Check me out for great commentary on the series. But I got Indiana winning this series against Atlanta for sure. And I'm going for Phoenix against Minnesota. I really am. I really feel like they could do it.
Well, now we have Chaz's picks too, so we're good to go there.
Nobody thought Indiana would beat Minnesota last year, for real. Come on, guys.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's 2013. It's the new year.
Yes, and it's coming to a close, and it's time to get ready for college ball soon. So Coach Ambers, Felicia Milton-Jones, Jazz Melvin, Katie Smith, thank you all very much for coming on today. It's been a blast. I've had a great time. I hope you have too.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.